In the year 2007, the lights went out all over Sydney to mark the world's very first Earth Hour in Australia. 15 years later, it's an event that brings together millions of people across the globe, all joining together to switch their lights off for 60 minutes to call for stronger action on climate change and other human-created threats to the planet. The now global event, which was started by the environmental group World Wildlife Fund Australia, has grown into the largest international movement for the environment, with supporters in over 190 countries and territories. WWF CEO Dermot O'Gorman says the event's anniversary couldn't come at a more crucial time.
We are seeing the heartbreaking impacts of climate change in Australia right now. The devastating floods of this last month, the catastrophic bushfires of 2020. But we're also seeing those happening on iconic places that we all love, like the Great Barrier Reef, where mass bleaching events have happened because of the increasing warming oceans due to climate change. These are all reminders, whether it's bleaching reef, fires or floods, that we are losing nature and that climate change is having a devastating impact on the places that we call home.
The floods have coincided with the release of the United Nations' most recent assessment of global efforts to adapt to the changing climate. Melbourne resident Jeremy Richardson is a videographer and climate advocate. He says it's positive to see communities come together for the climate, but that action needs to go beyond tokenism.
I think Earth Hour is a nice gesture. I think having your lights off for an hour is great, but I think there's better ways to be accountable to the environment. I think if you've moved towards using solar power in your home, well, here in Melbourne by 8:30, the lights are off and solar should have kicked in because it's nighttime. So we should be off the grid anyways. I think I'd actually like to say that this Earth Hour, what I'd like to see is our Environmental Minister, Susan Lee, and the federal government actually admitting that they do have a duty of care for future generations. I think it's actually bonkers to think that any adult, whether they're a parent or not, would not want to care about the lives of their kids or grandkids.
Jeremy's comments refer to a recent decision that ruled Australia's Federal Environment Minister Susan Lee doesn't have a duty of care to protect young people from the climate crisis when she's assessing fossil fuel developments. 8 teenagers had sought an injunction to prevent the minister from approving a proposal by Whitehaven Coal to expand the Vickery coal mine in northern New South Wales. They argued that she had a common law duty of care to protect younger people against future harm from climate change. They were initially successful, but Ms. Lee appealed against the decision, and three federal court judges ruled in her favour last week. The leader of the action, 17-year-old Melbourne student Anjali Sharma, says the decision is upsetting and it's time for the federal government to wake up to the fact that our climate is changing.
How many once in a decade, once in a century, once in a thousand years weather events do we need before the government decides that now is the time to take action? The federal court today may have accepted the minister's legal arguments over ours. But that does not change the minister's legal moral obligation, to take action on climate change and to protect young people from the harms that it will bring. It does not change the science. It does not put out the fires or drain the floodwaters.
Speaking to the ABC, Ms. Lee says she does care about climate change, but felt that the original ruling was asking her to go beyond her obligations.
I do want to separate what my obligations are under Australian law and a court case that was effectively asking me to go further beyond what my statutory obligations are. And clearly the three judges of the full federal court agreed with the case that the government put in terms of the inconsistency of what was being asked for under the duty of care with my statutory obligations.
Last year, the Environment Minister came under fire for her efforts to change a different decision, one made by the United Nations science and culture body UNESCO, which had recommended that Australia's Great Barrier Reef be listed as in danger due to three mass coral bleaching events in 5 years. Ms. Lee says she was blindsided by the recommendation and claimed it was politically motivated. She then flew to Europe, where she met with ambassadors from 18 different countries on the World Heritage Committee, asking them to vote against the recommendation. The trip was a success, with the committee voting in favour of keeping the reef off of the in danger list. Many at the time criticised the outcome as a win for lobbyists, as opposed to a win for the environment. Jeremy Richardson again.
ridiculous to think that we're still having people lobbying for fossil fuels and fuel sources that should have been stopped 30 years ago. We're obviously in the private sector making really good progression towards renewables. I think wind energy is doing amazing things, and I think there are parts of Australia that are doing great efforts towards that. But coal lobbyists, ridiculous. It pollutes the planet. It's not good for the environment. I don't have a coal fire anywhere at home. I'm not sure why we need to be focusing on energy sources that are insufficient and are out of date.
The Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority has today announced another bleaching of the area due to heat stress caused by climate change. It's the fourth time in 6 years that a mass bleaching event on the reef has occurred. A sad irony that comes just over 24 hours out from the 15th annual Earth Hour. Jasmine Ledger is an engagement specialist at WWF. She's imploring people to get involved with Earth Hour this weekend, saying it's heartbreaking to see the effects of global warming on Australia's unique climate.
Unfortunately, here in Australia, you know, the impacts of climate change are quite obvious. We're seeing the heartbreaking impacts of climate change in Australia right now. We're seeing, you know, it's making extreme weather events like bushfires and floods more frequent and unpredictable. And even right now, the Great Barrier Reef, one of our most iconic and unique ecosystems, is experiencing a significant bleaching event for the fourth time in just 6 years. So we can see the impacts of climate change on people and nature across Australia and around the world. So, events like these can be devastating to the reef as well as, you know, people in nature across Australia.
With the decline of species and the health of reef ecosystems rapidly deteriorating, the Great Barrier Reef is an example to many of the inextricable link between biodiversity loss and climate change. For those wanting to get involved in Earth Hour, go to www.earthhour.org.au. Tina Quinn, SBS News.